Some of you weren't here last week, so let me recap. We're reading this year from Matthew's Gospel, and last Sunday we heard the first words out of Jesus' mouth in his public ministry, and those words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to turn around or to change your mind. And Jesus is showing by his life and words and teaching how to be divine as a human being, which of course he already was. But God is inviting us into a share in divine life, into a share in divinity. And so Jesus is teaching us this new way of being human. And it's a new way of looking at reality. The world looks at reality in a certain way, and that is that there's importance in having things, in having stature and glory and being wealthy and being successful and being secure and all of those things that the world values. Jesus just doesn't seem to hold in any value whatsoever. And so it's always a bit of a turnaround for us in any age. It's always a bit of a change of mind for us to stop looking at the world through worldly eyes and start looking at it through divine eyes. So this week we have the Beatitudes, but we also have that reading from Zephaniah and that wonderful reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians about things being turned upside down. Blessed are the poor. And Zephaniah is saying that God is fashioning a poor remnant. And even though the world considers them outcasts and unsuccessful and a burden to all, those are the ones that God is particularly blessing. And they're going to pasture their sheep on safe pastures. In other words, they're going to be blessed. And then in the gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And St. Paul, in that second reading, says, look at yourselves. Most of you weren't of noble birth. Most of you are not successful in the world's eyes. But God has chosen the weak to shame the strong. He has chosen the ignorant to shame the wise. In other words, God is always turning things upside down and inside out from our normal way of looking at reality. And so conversion, this change of heart, this change of mind, is constant because the world is attractive and the world, the people in this world who are looking at reality through the world's eyes, they run the newspapers, the magazines, the government propaganda in every country, what's taught in schools. I mean, the world's agenda, the world's way of looking at things is just constantly before us. And so we need to be here every Sunday and sign ourselves in that font, recommitting ourselves to this change of heart, this change of mind. We need to be fed, nourished by that word that the rest of the world isn't hearing. And we need to eat and drink of the Lord, which the rest of the world is not paying any attention to. This is an upside-down world that we're talking about. So in those Beatitudes, some of the first preaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, first, repent, turn around, change your mind. And then second, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's an open-ended saying. Because some people are sociologically poor and others aren't. But everybody is poor in spirit, or at least they have the potential to be. Because poor in spirit means I recognize that I am not in charge of my own life. I recognize that I am dependent upon God for my very existence and for everything I have and everything I am. And when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, that's not automatic. There are poor people who are greedy. It isn't the rich only who are greedy. And there are rich people who aren't greedy, who are very generous, and compassionate, and kind. So don't misunderstand Jesus saying, blessed are the poor. They're not automatically blessed, but they do have a kind of a leg up because they recognize their poverty. They recognize their dependence on God, or at least it's more readily available to their consciousness. And in Luke's gospel, when he says, woe to you rich, he's not saying you're condemned and you don't have any hope of salvation, but be careful because your wealth can make you seem independent from God. It can make you think that you can save yourself. You've been successful in this life, in this world. You can manage these things yourself, and so you don't really pray, you don't depend on God. There's that potential for that kind of being lost. But when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's including all social reality. Rich, poor, ill, healthy, educated, non-educated, he's including it all. Everybody needs to recognize their dependence on God. Now, notice that all of those Beatitudes are, blessed are they. It's communal. It's not just individual. So there's some kind of social thing going on in the gospel, that we're all in this together. That Jesus is not intending this for a bunch of individuals to get their house in order. It does include that, but he's also including this social reality. Blessed are they. But then at the end, he changes the pronoun. He says, blessed are you when they persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you falsely because of me. Because you've changed your mind. You've turned around. You have become divine, living in a human way. And that looks like the cross. That looks like Jesus. Jesus was poor in spirit. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was suffered for righteousness' sake. Jesus was reviled and beaten and crucified. And the state executed him. We never want to forget that there's something about Christianity that is otherworldly, that doesn't necessarily follow the party line from any government, from any state. Jesus was executed because the state gets uncomfortable when we really act like that, when we are not afraid of death, when we're not afraid to offer our lives in service, when we don't follow all the social rules. It just makes people uncomfortable. So Jesus, in various places in the gospel, promises persecution. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to pick up your own cross and follow me. And there are various ways of suffering. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's misfortune. Sometimes it's grief or loss. We all have to suffer something, and many of us, many things. But in Christianity, there's another kind of suffering, and it's willing suffering. It's taking up my cross intentionally and willingly. And so we're coming up shortly on Lent, and Lent is always about fasting and penance. It's about taking up our cross. And that's not just for that season, but that season reminds us that it's always the case. That I always have to willingly own a little less than I think I need. That I need to be a little more generous than I think I need to be. That I need to be a little more at service of the community than I think I do. That I always have to be at least slightly uncomfortable with my cross. Otherwise, it's not a cross. To take on the very life of Jesus, to share in his ministry of saving the world, that there's something about us here who are responsible for the world, we're responsible for bringing the kingdom into this world. And so one of the lines in the Eucharistic prayer that we pray every Sunday is that we pray for the peace and salvation of all the world. That what we do here is not necessarily about our salvation, because our salvation has already been assured by the cross. What we're doing here is for the salvation of the world, offering our lives in service to that kingdom.